We are in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, in the middle of the doctrine of time. We left off on point 9, and that's on page 683 of the Christian Doctrines book. 683. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is Revelation 22, verse 20, Doctrine of Time, point 9, page 683. Part of our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to use the rebound technique. I see everybody here is a veteran, so we'll just simply employ the rebound technique if we have to. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the wonderful mercy you've shown all of us. We pray that you will challenge us in this new year to continue to move forward in your plan, in Christ's name. Amen. So, point 9, the doctrine of time. We left off on shortened days. We did point 8, which is day by day, and that's a wonderful verse about, we studied that before, although our inner man is basically rotting away day by day, the outer man, rather, our inner man is being formed, and therefore we receive a day and then another day so we can work on Bible doctrine, put it into our soul and spirit, and grow up to maturity. And point 9, of course, is the doctrine of the point. It's not the doctrine of shortened days. It is a point under the doctrine of time called shortened days. And time is lost to the negative volition believer through divine disciplined suffering. And that, of course, incorporates another doctrine, the doctrine of suffering. There's three categories of suffering that humans experience. And we suffer. We have problems and suffering, as the unbeliever does. And we also have special suffering that unbelievers are not going to be subjected to, but we certainly have many things in common in terms of suffering. You have people testing, thought testing, system testing. Unbelievers have the same thing. They just don't have the skills to deal with them. So we lose time, and it's lost to a loser believer. You can't lose your salvation, but you're constantly under a system of divine discipline suffering because you won't rebound, you won't learn Bible doctrine, and therefore you're losing time. We say that you're losing time. Time doesn't come back. It's gone. And so each day that passes by is one day closer to your death. And that's a fact of life. And so the sin of arrogance destroys and shortens the use of days for the negative volition believer. We've got lots of verses there that make that point very lucid. Next page we've got, we just selected one of them, Hebrews 3:13. It says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. And that's semeron, which means this very day, which is today. We have a day today, which is Sunday. I think it's January the 11th of 2026. And so we're encouraged, we're asked to encourage one another as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And the deceitfulness of sin, I think we covered this last time as well, it's deceitful because when people don't want to use their time to study Bible doctrine, they're being deceived. They're being lied to by the cosmic system, because the cosmic system basically has enticed you with something better, or you think it's something better, but it's deception. Remember, Satan is the father of lies. He's the chief liar of all times, and his lie is always out there. And each of us have to make a determination for ourselves, which voice will we follow? The voice of God or the voice of Satan? In our preamble to Bible classes, we quote that wonderful passage in 2 Timothy, written by Paul right before he was executed, which says that we should study ourselves to be approved unto God. That's what you're supposed to do, study, which requires effort. Studying is not emotion. You got to pull out the books and study it, learn it. So study to show yourself approved unto God. That's how you are approved unto God. That's what God wants you to do. And then the other side of the coin, it says, so that we will not be ashamed, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, King James Version. So the other side, if you don't study, you're going to be ashamed. You're a workman. We're building something. What are we building? Well, we raised our hands and we said, which doctrine in Christian doctrines deals with building? Well, we'd all say the edification complex of the soul. You're constructing a building in your soul. You start out with the foundation, which is Christ. Look up the doctrine of the cornerstone. And on that foundation, you start building. Like a little beaver, you start building up your home. And God will approve of you. That's what he wants you to do. Otherwise, if you simply just, the slab's there, but you never do anything, like the Palisade fires, there's slabs out there all over, but nobody's building, not doing anything. It's not going to do you any good. You can't live on a slab. So you will be a workman that's ashamed. So you have an alternative. You're going to be approved unto God, or you're going to be ashamed. And when will you find out? Well, at the judgment seat of Christ, of course. So in Hebrews, he's writing to a congregation. And remember, back in those days, they didn't have the ability to grow to maturity by listening to tapes. You had to go into a church. You had to be shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow with other believers in a building somewhere. And so he's just saying, encourage each other day after day, as long as it's still called today. Because one day it won't be called today. It'll be called yesterday. And that's tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow, today is yesterday. And then that's another day off the game clock. So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, because that's the alternative. Obviously, something is more enticing to you than studying Bible doctrine, than doing what your Creator tells you to do. And that's deceitful. You're deceiving yourself. Look up the doctrine of enemies. The number one enemy is you, because you're sucked into the cosmic system. And the unbeliever lives in the cosmic system. They can't get out. You can get out. Anytime you want to get out, you simply rebound. You're out. But if that's all you do is rebound, that's true, you're in the filling of the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't grow Bible doctrine in your soul. I'm pointing here on the board to our XYZ diagram. So yeah, you can get out of the cosmic system, but then part two, you've got to start studying to show yourself approved unto God. Rebound is simply 1 John 1:9. Confess your sin, name a sin, boom, you're back into the filling of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't put Bible doctrine in your soul. It makes you capable of doing it. You've got to study. And how do you study? Well, obviously, you've got to have a pastor teacher to teach you. You can't do this on your own. Nobody can. And then we got point 10, long days. Consistently taking in Bible doctrine and growing to maturity results in length of days for the winner believer. And we studied this last time as well. I know I'm replowing ground, but I like to replow the ground because the rate of learning must exceed the rate of forgetting. So you can have long days. And so we know how you have short days. How do you have long days? Well, you simply take in Bible doctrine on a consistent basis and you grow to maturity. That's the last thing that Peter wrote before they took him out and executed him. He said, grow. Grow means you're at a state where you're growing up. Grow in grace. And then he tells you how. By means of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how you do it. Knowledge. Information. That's the food. So you want long days? We studied these things before, but I'd like to go over them again. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. There's the contrast. And then we've got Ecclesiastes 7:17-18, do not be excessively wicked and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? That's the sin unto death that awaits you. If you turn your back on Bible doctrine as a reversionist, you can die the sin unto death. It is good that you grasp one thing, Bible doctrine, and also not let go of the other, which is your desire for a long life and to have rewards in time and eternity. For the one who fears, and that's to respect God, comes forth with both of them. Get them both. And then 11 is buyback time. The believer organizes and prioritizes his life by redeeming or buying back the time. How do you buy back time? Who gave you the time? God gave you the time. How do you buy it back? Well, you learn and apply Bible doctrine. And of course, you have Hebrews 5:12-14, which describes a loser believer who's been a believer for a long time, but, they've never really learned anything. We studied that verse before. They just simply refuse to learn. Remember in Hebrews, the writer said, by this time I've taught you so much Bible doctrine, you should be holding the class. But you're still in the baby crib. You can't get out. And that was because, yeah, they were showing up, but they weren't serious students. Whatever reason they were showing up, the social reason, a lot of people go to church just for social stuff. The fellowship, whatever they call fellowship, quote unquote, with other people. And the parking lots are full of them. And I don't know why they're going there. I guess obviously they get some enjoyment out of it. That's why they go there. But they're not going there to learn the Word of God. They're not serious students of the Word of God. They're going there to get entertained and to be, you know, energized or whatever it is, to be a better you in a better world. It's all satanic. Most of it's absolutely satanic. Religion is Satan's chief tool against humans. It deceives you. And that's a sad state to be in. You're a fool, as we saw in Ecclesiastes. Why should you be a fool? Well, because that's what you are. And people on negative volition, you can talk to them, you can make common sense, you can win the argument. It doesn't move the needle at all. At all. So Revelation 3:18 says, I, Jesus Christ, advise you. This is the church at Laodicea. Remember, the first three chapters of Revelation dealt with the churches in Asia Minor, which is today in Turkey. But at that time, they were the center of gravity for Christianity, not Jerusalem. Ephesus was really the center of gravity, and that's one of those churches. Laodicea is another church, not too far from Ephesus. So I, Jesus Christ, advise you to buy from me gold. Now, why do we use the term gold here? Gold has intrinsic value. Gold's always been recognized by all cultures and all time, all across the world, as something that has great value. And one of the reasons, I suppose, is it's nice and yellow and it doesn't rust. And so he advises them that to buy from me gold. Now, how do you buy gold? You're going to buy gold. You got to have some money. You got to produce something to buy it. So what's the coin that you're going to use to buy gold? If you will go down to a coin shop and you want to buy a gold coin, they're not going to just let you come in and say, I want a gold coin. Here's your gold coin. Walk out. You got to peel out, I think, about $4,500 now for an ounce of gold. So how are you going to buy gold from God? Well, then it goes on. It says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. So the word gold here is C-H-R-U-S-I-O-N, and that's gold which lies embedded in the earth, in the Greek word. So you're going to buy from me gold embedded in the earth. Most of the times you're a miner, most gold, you might find a vein of gold that goes to the rocks, but most of it is kind of embedded in quartz or other types of rocks. You got to pull the rock out, you got to smash up the rock in a big machine these days, and then little specks of gold come out. And so the gold is in the rocks. And it's in the earth. And it says, refined by fire. Well, that's the job of the pastor teacher, to take the ore out of the ground, refine it into gold coins, and then give it to the congregation as their spiritual money. But what do you give in return? How are you going to get these coins? Well, what's your purchase power? Your time. That's all you got to do. It's just time. It's free. But you just have to show up and purchase it. So you're purchasing mechanism is your time, that God gave you the time to even purchase it in the first place, because he can cut our time off at any moment, and then you don't have time anymore. But that's what he's advising you. Use your time to buy from me gold. That's all you got to do. It's free. There's no money. You don't have to write a check to go to church. Now, some churches do require you to write a check, or 10%. It's all a lie. There's no money. Bible doctrine is the gold. Bible doctrine is not for sale. It's free. Absolutely free. So you just have to buy it with your time. And time, of course, requires energy and effort. You got to roll out of bed. You got to, you know, brush your teeth or whatever you do and get in the old jalopy and go down there or not. Today, you can actually do it by electronic means. But it depends on whichever way you want to do it. You can reach maturity without ever sitting next to another Christian in a room listening to Bible doctrine. You can do it with you and your shadow. With your, we don't call them tape players anymore, but whatever, the iPod, iPad, whatever it is, just plug up the thing. We have a Christian doctrine ministries with hundreds of lessons, and you can do it. So, but of course, if you choose to go in person, that's good too, because there are no Bible classes unless somebody shows up in person. That's the way I That's the way this church runs. Somebody's got to be here. We don't have class. Now, to buy from me gold, again, that's what this is Jesus advising these believers. Buy from me gold. Obviously, they need more Bible doctrine. And they said, refined by fire. Well, that's how you get the gold out of the rocks. You crush it. In the ancient world, they'd heat it up and the gold would melt out. And then they collect the little things and make gold. Refined by fire. That's the job of the pastor teacher. So that you may become rich. And that means you're going to reach spiritual maturity. Because that's what gold does. You've got a lot of gold, you're rich. If you've got 40 gold coins, if you collected them back a while back when it was like $1,000 an ounce, you made a pretty good, if it hits 5,000 an ounce, you've got $200,000 just with 40 coins. $200,000. Because you bought them when gold was maybe $800. Oh, $800 a lot. Or $600 a decade ago. And some people did buy them, and they find themselves very rich today. And so that's what you're going to do here. But this is just an analogy, because the wealth of the universe is the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. So you become rich, super rich. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. Okay, the white garments, of course, refer to Bible doctrine that you clothe yourself with, because otherwise, if you don't have those garments, then you're going to be, your nakedness, the shame of your nakedness, and that means you're going to be ashamed of the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be butt-ass naked. You have nothing. There's nothing in your soul. You put no Bible doctrine into your soul. That's the gold. And the analogy is I put a very nice white robe across my body. And that's what clothes are supposed to do, is to cover up your nakedness. And you don't have that. All you've got is your resurrection body, and that's it. You did not take the time that God gave you to buy gold, and with that gold, clothe yourself. It's just an analogy. Or build your house. Lots of different analogies used in the Bible to describe the same thing. So here we're using it, you know, put on these white garments. And if without the gold, you can't put on the white garments. The white garments is just a lot of Bible doctrine. And that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And that's phanero, double O's is always which means to make manifest or visible. And that's at the judgment seat of Christ. And eye salve, to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Now, the church at Laodicea, interestingly enough, they actually had, according to extra-biblical sources, a salve that was produced in Laodicea for the treatment of eye problems. And so that's why the writer, John, knew all about that stuff. And he says, well, I'll throw that in there. The Holy Spirit will let me do it. It's an analogy that these people could understand. Because you put this stuff on your eyes. Now, in cedar time in Texas, I'd love to have some eye salve on my eyes. Because they itch like fire ants. And that would be very nice to have. So he's using analogies that these people can understand. And that's why we have exegesis in the study of the Word of God. You got to kind of look and peel back the onion and say, well, why would he say eye salve? Well, of course, with your eyes, you see. And we've seen that many times in the Bible. You see God through the Bible. But if you don't have Bible doctrine, you can't see anything. You can't see anything. You're in the dark. And the eye salve here is to have healthy eyes so you can see where you're going. And that's how you navigate in life. And that's the doctrine of walking as well. So lots of analogies to describe the same thing. It just says, study Bible doctrine. Study Bible doctrine. Because who doesn't want gold? You know, it doesn't say, I advise you to buy from me straw. Nobody wants straw. They want gold. Everybody wants gold. In Ephesians 5:15-18, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk. And that's peripateo, which means your lifestyle. You be careful how you walk. How do you conduct yourself? Be careful, because there's a lot of bear traps everywhere. A lot of them. And of course, bear traps are sprung on all of us, and our old sin nature gets the best of us. Our mouth starts flapping, our tongue goes, and there you go. You got to rack up a whole lot of sins in about 30 seconds. And if you got to do rebound, you got to say, wow, that boom, 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 boom. Started with arrogance, started with vindictiveness, it started with hatred, and away I went with gossip, and it all came out the mouth. And that's why James said the tongue is a small thing, but it can burn down a forest fire. burn the forest. The fire that comes out of it is a forest fire that can burn down an entire forest and really mess things up. So be careful how you walk, because in the military, we're kind of trained, if you're 11 Bravo, which is infantrymen, one of the dangers you can have is landmines. The enemy sets up landmines everywhere. I remember we were on the border of Thailand and Cambodia, and then again on the border of Thailand and Burma, landmines all over the place. And it's really very disheartening, because the Thais on one side of the Cambodians on the other side, they just put landmines all across the border. And landmines are little bombs that they cover up in the ground, and you walk on these things and step on them, and it's a bad day. Bad day. And so you kind of want to walk around them. And usually when we see a landmine or a field of area that we think there's landmines, we send out special folks to go out there and mark the path that you can walk through them so everybody can get through them. That's a very hazardous job as well. Demolition crews. But they go out and try to spot where they are and put little flags on the ground so you know where to walk and not, don't walk. So be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Well, wisdom means you have knowledge. But if you don't have knowledge, you don't have wisdom. Remember, the definition of truth is conforming your mind to objective reality. Unbelievers can do that with the divine institutions. And believers, we can do it if we have Bible doctrine. We conform our mind to objective reality. If you can't do that, you're delusional. And you've seen delusional people. I meet them all the time. And you can talk to them all day long about certain things. Does no good. Absolutely no good. They're not logical. They're delusional, which is a mental illness, really. They cannot conform their mind to objective reality. Just one illustration. They're convinced that there is a, I don't know what it is, LBGTQ 25, 3, 4, 5, whatever the nonsense is. What are you people? Are you insane? It's male and female. How do you know that? Well, one, biology, and two, the Bible says so. And that's good enough for me. The Bible's very clear on this issue. You know, there's 23 genders, and the I, the they, and the me, and the what. You're perverting the English language at a minimum, and you're not conforming your mind to objective reality, which is a mental disease. And a disease is hard to cure. And those people are, many of them are incurable, but they do it to themselves. But again, they chose it. They might be exposed to this and exposed to that, but they, at the end of the day, they want to do it. There's something in their old sin nature that attracts them. What is that? The cosmos. Very attractive to them. Because they know better than God. I don't care what the Bible says. A, I don't know what the Bible says, and even if I do know, I don't care. I am my own God. I will make up my own God. This is my view of the world. That's a very arrogant person. They're not teachable. They don't want to learn nothing. They already know everything, and you can't tell them anything. They're not teachable. Arrogant people are not teachable. And they expose themselves to things that tickle their ears. They do not expose themselves to the other side at all. At all. And so many people, when I teach a lot of different courses, and I, of course, try to add in divine establishment principles, because those are for unbelievers and believers. And a lot of my critics will say, well, you know, on a particular issue, you don't give the other side of it. I don't need to give the other side, because you live in the other side. You've never had a law professor that tells you how wonderful the death penalty is. I don't need to explain the other side. That's where you live. You can find 99% of them will tell you it's against God's law. It's immoral. It's uncivilized and blah, 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 illegal. No, it's not illegal. It's not immoral. In fact, it's the correct thing to do. Execute them. And that's the biblical point of view. That's the moral point of view. It's legal and it's moral. But you don't hear the other side. So I don't have to give the other side. You live there. You've never heard my side. And there you go. And that's kind of easy for me, because as a law professor, I like to provide both sides to people. But in many cases, I don't need to give the other side. They already got that down. They've never heard this side, ever. And then they can make a decision. Do I want to line up with what I've been taught this way or this way? But if you don't know there's another way, you don't even have the consideration that there's another possibility. Ephesians, again, so it's Ephesians 5, 15 to 18. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Apply the problem-solving devices. Making the most of your time. You've heard that phrase before. Make the most of your time. Okay, what does that mean? Well, In this passage, it means to study Bible doctrine from the viewpoint of the cosmos. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Make the most of your time. That's what they mean. What we mean is to buy back the time that God gave you. Do what he tells you to do. Why is that so hard for Christians to understand, to do what he tells you to do? Well, because you have an old sin nature. You want to do what you want to do. I got that. But that's not good. No bueno. Not good. That's my new favorite word, no bueno. Not good. Okay, make the most of your time because the days are evil. And that's poneros. Satan is a time stealer. Remember that passage that don't worry about tomorrow because every day has enough evil for you to handle today. And I guarantee you, evil will hit you today. Somehow, somewhere, you got a bad case. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or something happened and grandma did this or whatever it is. Challenge this, challenge that. Oh, yeah. Be prepared. When you get out of bed, I hope you put your clothes on. I do. Well, I have clothes when I go to bed, but then you put on new clothes. But also, don't forget to arm yourself. As a police officer goes to work, they don't go to work without their gun. Army folks, you know, today are woke. Or, well, I don't know. Today's Army is much better. But back in the day, they wouldn't let NCOs carry firearms on base because somebody might get shot or post. That's what we're supposed to do. So arm yourself. So as a Christian, you arm yourself for the spiritual war that you're going to face today. The helmet, the shield. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, the last part. Put on your equipment before you go out the door, then you're going into battle, dude. Yes, that's the way it is. Now, sometimes you're going to have R&R. God will pull you off the line and give you some R&R and his own timing. Every day is not a hectic hell on wheels day. Some are, some aren't. Sometimes you get a little R&R, and sometimes you don't. But the days are evil, and that's why. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. Evil can suck you in a heartbeat. Remember, we've got a two-front war. The first front, all believers face, that's the old sin nature, the battle between the old sin nature and the Holy Spirit for control of your thinking. And how does it control your thinking? Well, if you're in the cosmos, you think their thoughts. If you're filled with God, the Holy Spirit, you have the capability to think God's thoughts as long as you start to learn Bible doctrine. But there's a constant battle between the old sin nature and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We studied that many times. Paul himself said, I don't understand what's going on. I want to do good, but I can't do good. Well, then he said, yes, the old sin nature, this makes me do these things. But you ultimately choose to do it. So that's front number one. Front number two, it's not for everybody. But front number two is for the mature believer. And that is the believer that knows enough Bible doctrine that God will pull you out of the supply and support, or you're a rear echelon. We call them rear echelons, and we had a couple of bad things to say about them. It's an acronym, but I won't shock you. To put you up with the trigger pullers. And you're fighting on the line. And that's the angelic conflict, because God wants you to be a subject matter expert witness. It's true that when you're born again, you're a basic witness. Every believer is a basic witness in the angelic conflict appellate trial. And your testimony is, I'm saved. I chose to be saved, and God gave me salvation. I'm in. That's every witness. Every believer has that basic exhibit. And there's a few that are subject matter expert witnesses. Those are the few that grew. They used the most of their time, and they grew up. And that's what God wants you to do, so he can enter you as a subject matter expert witness in the angelic conflict, and that's how you glorify God, reach the highest levels of spiritual maturity, and receive rewards in time and eternity beyond your imagination. Now, that's what God wants. Do you want it is the only question. So make the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, aphron, which means without reason. We've seen that word being a fool in the Old Testament. Now we're seeing foolish. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will, thelema is the word for will, of the Lord is. Oh, what's the will of the Lord? If we had to do a test, what's the will of the Lord for your life? For you to reach maturity. That's it. That's it. And then we have the kicker here. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. That means a dissolute life. Why use that analogy of wine? Because drunks, they don't know what the hell they're doing. Now, again, look up the doctrine of drinking. There's nothing wrong with having one or two or three. It depends on how long you're pounding them down. You know, because you got to add time in there, because you don't want to drink three in 2 minutes. or four in 2 minutes. That's not a good thing. But some people have a higher tolerance for alcohol than others. Some people, they can just look at booze and they fall over. Others, they can down. Like, I've seen people, like, when I was in Ukraine, I was mind-boggled. I'd sit there with a couple of these guys were from the parliament, and I couldn't match them, man. They were just, like, pounding down the hard stuff. And I tried to keep up, but I couldn't do it. The next morning, I was a hurting cowboy, and the other Ukrainian counterparts, man, they're up there speaking on the parliament floor. I saw the guy like 7:30 in the morning. And I don't know how they did it, but I guess they started at early age. So it depends on different persons, people, your capacity, your metabolism, all those things. But he says, do not get drunk with wine. In other words, don't get drunk with wine, because you can't use your faculties. You can't understand, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. That's it. That's be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you walk, you've got to constantly, as it says, be careful how you walk. If you want to walk, if you're walking without the Holy Spirit, you're in the cosmos. Waste of time. Get here and go there. That's what that passage is saying. Okay, so we'll take a break here, and we'll pick it up in about 5 minutes with part two, and we'll finish off the doctrine of time today with that question, point 12. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying these things in your word. Challenge us to remember them and make them a source of motivation for us, in Christ's name. Amen.